to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. On today's show, we're going to talk about the power of leverage. The leverage that I want to talk about is the leverage associated with finance. In other words, leverage, according to dictionary.com, is the ratio of a company's loan capital, known as debt, to the value of its common stock, which is equity. Yeah, I know. They've got all these crazy things that they define leverage as. This is how we at Lifestyles Unlimited define leverage. Okay, we don't go into, you know, the dictionary form, because we're not a fulcrum and we're not too focused on debt to common stock equity, because we don't issue common stock in real estate. Now there are REITs out there and things like that that do stuff like that, but that's not the way we invest at Lifestyles Unlimited. We look at leverage as simply this: using other people's money to make more money for you. That's right. I mean, that's the concept of leverage. And I will tell you that I've talked to a lot of people that think the safest way to buy real estate is to pay all cash. They'll get a big chunk of money and they'll go out and they will search for a particular property. They will buy that property. Maybe they renovate it. Maybe they don't. I don't know. But at the end of the day, they will not put a mortgage on the property. And their rationale for doing so is this: they get to keep all the cash flow, minus taxes and insurance. It doesn't matter if you have a mortgage on a property or not. You will always be responsible for paying taxes, because if you don't pay your taxes, the government will take your property away. It's just the way it works. Insurance, very important product to have on a property, especially as a owner of property. If you have debt on your property, there is 99.9999% chance that the lender that you're working with, who's giving you maybe up to 80% of the money to acquire that property, will require you to have certain insurance products on the property. Normally it's like a fire insurance. So it's they want to make sure that if some peril happens to the property, that they're going to be okay. Now, when you look at somebody that buys property all cash, there is no lender there saying, okay, you have to put certain financial instruments on this, certain insurance products on this property. And there are folks out there that figure, yeah, place isn't going to burn down. What are the odds of it burning down? So they may forego getting insurance. So it's a mindset. It's a technique. I think it's dangerous, to be honest with you. I think you have to have, whether you're a cash buyer or you're somebody that leverages property, you have to have insurance products on that property that protect your interest. You know, as a minimum, fire insurance, wind damage, those types of things, because those threats do occur. It could happen in your property. And the other thing we'd suggest that you have on there is loss of rent insurance, specifically a policy that covers the fact that maybe something bad happened to the property. It has to go through a repair stage. So while it's going through the repair stage, the resident can't live there. And if the resident can't live there, well, they're not going to pay you any rent. So, you know, what happens is they get damaged and they move out. Now you've got a property that's unoccupied and it's going to take some time. I'll just use the word rebuild. You know, I don't know what peril you're going to run into, but I will tell you, if you have a fire in a property, that can be fairly significant. It could take a certain amount of time to get that repaired. Now, depending on who you have on your team, that's going to impact your repair time. So could it be repaired in less than a month? Yeah, sure it could. But you've got to take into consideration that would be a month that you would be without rental income. So we believe in properly insuring the property. We also believe in the concept of leverage. I was messing around with a spreadsheet today. This is kind of how I get my brain to work. For whatever reason, my brain connects with a spreadsheet. For me, it's an opportunity to take all of the numbers and lay them all out in a way that I can analyze them, in a way where I can go back, well, and say, what did I do here? And what's going on there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what I want to talk about when we come back from the break is the concept of leverage. I'm going to go through this analysis that I did on my spreadsheet. I'm going to try and articulate a spreadsheet to you, so we'll see how well that works out. But essentially, what I'm looking at is this. If you had $150,000 and you wanted to invest in real estate, there's a couple paths you can go by, and we're going to pick just two of the paths. We're going to pick the path of somebody that wants to pay all cash for a property, and then we're going to take a look at somebody that leverages that money into five different properties. We'll be back right after this.
Del Wamsley explains how he found that speck of light that got him into the lifestyle.
I had a guy that used to come into the health club every day and work out for 4 hours a day, sit in the jacuzzi, swim, play racquetball, was happy, looked great, tan all the time. And one day I just asked him, what do you do for a living? And he said, Del, I own real estate.
Well, do you own real estate? Register for our live online free workshop and find out how you can get all the things you want out of life with passive income. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Brought to you by Lifestyles Unlimited. Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. So we're talking about leverage. We're talking about using other people's money to help acquire, ultimately finance, residential income producing properties. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to focus on the single family space, because, and I'll be honest with you, I could do this analysis with multifamily. It would work out the same way, but the numbers would be much bigger and a little bit harder to deal with. And what I'm going to attempt to do is use numbers that are, you know, real in today's markets and give you the information that you're wanting to get. Now, the other thing I'm going to do, I'm going to make some assumptions here. I'm going to assume that what we will do is we will buy properties that are all fixed up already. Maybe it's, you know, flippers selling them or something like that. So we're not going to go through the Lifestyles Unlimited model. In other words, where we find a distressed property, we fix it up, and after doing that, we've captured equity and stuff like that. Because if I get too detailed into those kind of fundamentals, I think I'm not only going to lose you, but I'm going to lose me, and I don't want to do that. So I'm going to make this assumption that we are real estate investors that go out and we buy up properties that are already fixed up. Or, you know, maybe there are those of you out there that think the way to go is you buy brand new properties. Okay, whatever. So let's assume there's a property out there that you can buy that has an after repair value of $150,000. In other words, that is what the property is worth on the market. It's been all fixed up. When it compares to other properties that have sold in that particular neighborhood in the last, I don't know, 6 to 9 months, that is considered a fair price, fair market value. So if you are somebody with $150,000 in your pocket, and we're not going to get into closing costs, we're not going to get any of that stuff. We're just going to go fundamental numbers so that I can show you the math on all this stuff. So you're going to buy a $150,000 property. You're going to pay $150,000 all cash. You're going to close on the property, and you're going to find an excellent renter for the property. That person will become your resident and they will sign a one-year lease and you're going to be good to go. Let's assume that fair market rent for that property is Let's go with $1,300. To be honest with you, you might be able to get more. You might be able to get less. Since this is a fictional property, I'm just going to go with some assumptions based on what the market's telling me. So we'll assume that you will receive $1,300 a month in rent. You're going to pay taxes. You can't get away from those. And we'll assume those to be about $250. And we'll assume you'll put basic insurance on the property, and that's going to cost you maybe around $50. I'll be honest with you, I don't necessarily know what the insurance cost is. I'm just going with $50 a month. I could be high, I could be low. Insurance products are based on all kinds of things that the insurance industry analyzes: location, risk. There's a ton of things. So again, I don't want to go deep into the weeds on this. I'm just making an assumption of $50. So what that does for us is we take that $1,300 a month in rent. We pay our taxes. We pay our insurance every month. And that leaves us a cash flow of $1,000. So you're making $1,000 a month, or $12,000 per year, to buy this property this way and use it all cash. Remember, you're not paying a mortgage, so that's an expense you're not paying off. That money is coming directly to you. Now, you're going to write off depreciation on this property. The IRS allows you to depreciate residential income property over a 27.5-year period. Now, we're not going to get into the nuances of cost segregation and things like that, because again, I want to keep the numbers simple. So we'll just go with a standard 27.5% write off of the $150,000 ARV. That allows you to write off $455 a month in depreciation. That means your tax liability on that money is $545. Now, when we annualize all this stuff, this is what you're looking at. You're looking at an annual cash flow of $12,000. You're going to write off $5,455 in depreciation against that cash flow, and that's going to leave the remaining cash flow of $6,545 as liable for taxes. All right. Now, when I sat down and I figured out, you know, what's your return? What are you getting on your money? If you're receiving $12,000 a year from a property that you paid $150,000 for, your cash on cash return is 8%. Okay. We're just looking at the cash return right there. Now, let's assume the property, we've gone through an entire year. You've made that $12,000, and one of the things that property has accomplished for you is it has appreciated. It has gone up in value. We know that real estate over time goes up in value. I mean, our research says it tends to double every 10 to 20 months, depending on location. So I'm just going to make that assumption and say, okay, we're on the 20-year plan. What's that equate to? Well, that works out to be, let's just say 5%. Let's just say you've got a 5% appreciation on that property. What does that mean? It means that that property that you bought for $150,000, it went up in value $7,500. So you have an equity increase in that property of $7,500. So what you're looking at, because remember, you don't have a mortgage on this property, so everything in that property is considered equity. You go from an equity position of $150,000 to an equity position of $157,500. That's a 5% increase. So, you know, on the surface, things are looking pretty good. We're doing okay here. Even though we didn't buy the property the way we would recommend you buy the property at Lifestyles Unlimited, we went out and we found something that was all fixed up. And there are people that do that. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not telling you you can't do that. I'm just saying that there's, you know, other ways where you can leverage your money even more greatly using, you know, things like hard money, so that you can reduce the amount of money that you're actually coming out of pocket for the particular property. But we're just going to assume that 20%. Now, when we look at the concept of leverage, when we look at the concept of the fact that we're going to bring in a partner to invest with us, and we're going to call that partner a mortgage broker or a bank or a whoever provides the, you know, potentially 80% capital, so that you only have to put 20% of your capital into the property, what do the numbers look like? And I will tell you, it's a big difference. It really is. When we come back from the break, I'm going to talk about those big differences and why leverage becomes much more of an effective tool in your arsenal for real estate investing. We'll be back right after this.
Listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. So we're talking about leverage. We're talking about using other people's money to assist us with investing in real estate. The reason we do it is because it helps us to make more money. It helps us to get a better return on our money. In real estate, we make money five different ways. Now, if we get into multifamily, there's actually a sixth way. I'm not going down that path today, but I am going to talk about the five ways we make money in real estate and how by leveraging property, you can get much better returns. Now, I understand that there are those of you out there that believe that mortgages are not good. You know, if for whatever reason you think cash is king and cash is the way to go. I don't know if I'll ever change your mind. But what I can argue is that I can argue that if you had $150,000 and you paid all cash, you would get one property. In other words, if that property was worth $150,000, you would take your wheelbarrow of money and you would park it on that property and the money would be dispersed and you would own that one property. That one property will produce cash flow for you. And because you're not paying a mortgage, your cash flow is actually more than if you owned a property that had a mortgage on it. What does that look like? Really, if you took your $150,000 and you spread it across five properties. In other words, you took $30,000 and you put it in property one, and then you put another $30,000 into property two, and you keep going until you have five properties. What you will have done is spread that $150,000 across five real estate assets that produce cash flow, but they produce cash flow in a slightly different way. Now, the rationale is this. When you put a mortgage on the property, you are basically agreeing, and let's just tell you what most mortgages are. Most mortgages are considered 30-year fixed interest rates. You can get adjustable rates. I'm not a fan of those. I like to know that my money is going to cost a certain amount of money, and that's just it. You can get buy downs, you know, and those are different strategies. We're not going to get into that stuff. What I'm assuming is that we're going to get a standard fixed rate 30-year mortgage on this property. We're going to put 20% down. That's where your $30,000 went. And the lender is providing $120,000 for you to use to complete the purchase. That's the way it works. I just did a simple mortgage analysis. I made an assumption and said the money's going to cost just 5%. Now, in the current market, I think you can get money a lot cheaper, but there's factors out there that impact that, like your credit score, your debt to income ratio. There's other things out there. So I'm just, and 5% is an easy number for me to work with. So I'm just saying, okay, the interest rate is 5%. The difference between buying the property all cash and buying a property and putting a mortgage on it is $645. So with that first property that you're buying with leverage, you will have an additional expense called a mortgage expense. That's the principal and interest. And that at a 5% rate is $645. So everything else stays the same. I mean, the rent is the same. That $150,000 property can still command a rent of $1,300 a month, whether you have a mortgage on it or you don't. You're still going to pay taxes on that property because the government's got to get their cut, and that's just the way it is. You're still going to pay insurance on that property. There's no difference in the insurance product cost whether you have a mortgage on the property or you don't. The real difference is that that mortgage provider will insist that you have the proper insurance on the property. So unlike the cash buyer, there's no, well, maybe next month I'll put it on. So when you calculate the costs associated with doing just one rental property leveraged, the difference is this. Your cash flow will reduce from $1,000 a month down to $355 a month because you're paying that mortgage. Now, you're still going to have depreciation on that property, and that depreciation doesn't change. Whether you have a loan on the property or not, it is immaterial. That will still be $455. So the difference is this. At the end of the month, your tax liability on the cash property is $545 a month. That turns into an annualized rate of $6,545. That's the amount of income that you would show the IRS, and then they would charge you taxes based on your ordinary tax rate. Now, on the leveraged property, because your depreciation cost is actually higher than your cash flow, you're still putting that $355 in your pocket. But you're able to take that depreciation loss and offset that cash flow so that what you're showing is a $100 a month loss. That turns into a $1,200 a month loss. Remember, I said you're going to leverage the properties and you're going to buy five properties. And we're going to keep with that same model. You're going to go out and buy something that's already fixed up. We're not going to follow the lifestyles model. We're just going to go out and buy stuff that is all fixed up, ready to go. You didn't have to do any of the work. You didn't have to have your teams do any of the work. It is just pristine and ready to go. If you bought five houses and leveraged them correctly at 80% apiece, you would invest your $150,000 in total at $30,000 chunks for each property. And you will have $150,000 invested. The difference here is this. You now control five assets. Not one asset. You control five assets. And when you look at how the numbers all break down, when you compare five properties to one property, there's a big difference. Because here it is. Remember that single property was producing $1,000 a month in cash flow? That's $1,000 a month you're putting into your pocket. Well, each of those properties that you chose to leverage is producing $355 per month. But when you multiply that out, let me make sure my math is all right here because sometimes I get a little goofy with my spreadsheets. Yeah, it looks like everything's good. What you will put into your pocket is $1,775. See, you're putting an extra $775 into your pocket because of your ability to leverage money, because you're able to buy money in the form of a mortgage and you're able to write that expense off. You will put yourself in a position where annually, and here's the big difference, one property, $150,000 invested, based on my model, makes you $12,000 a year. But if you were to leverage five properties, invest that same $150,000 across the board, you will earn $21,300. So even though the cash flow is less for each of those properties, when you multiply the cash flow by the number of properties, you get better returns. You're getting better depreciation because now what you're doing is you're depreciating five properties as opposed to one. And what that does for you when the dust all settles, you're doing really well. Now you've got $6,000 in paper losses that, depending on your tax situation, you may be able to use to offset some of your other income. I'm not a tax guy. I'm just telling you what I know. Interesting stuff. There's more. When we come back, there's actually more benefits to doing it this way. And I'll share them with you after the break.
One of the things I'd like to get across is that your whole life you wanted to make a change, right? But you've never had the time? This might be it, because we have online education that you can get involved in.
We're now going to bring the free workshop to the entire country and really the world. Anybody who is interested can participate in that. We're going to live stream that free workshop and have people online with you on the live stream, talking with you, answering questions, interacting. You're really going to get a great feel for the Lifestyles community from this. And you can register for that. So if you want to find out about us, this is a great way to take a look at us and what we do.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. That's LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. So during the break, my wife went down to the mailbox and she came back and she knocked on my office door and she knew it was a break because I wasn't making any noise. And she handed me an envelope. And lo and behold, we received another distribution check from one of our properties. So I wanted to share that with you because that's really good news, especially considering what's going on in the world. Our investments are still doing well for us. They're still providing us cash flow, and that's really cool. But that's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about leverage and the fact that you can use other people's money in the form of conventional financing or other instruments that are out there, and you can acquire more property. So in the last segment, I said we're going to get into the nitty-gritty as to what the benefits are to leveraging 5 particular properties as opposed to paying cash for one. Well, the first benefit is this. You now control 5 assets. You control 5 pieces of real estate property as compared to 1 if you paid all cash. And let's assume, like I said earlier in the show, the properties appreciate over a 1-year period of time, 5%. I'm just picking a number out of the air. I'm not saying that properties absolutely appreciate 5% because they do in some places, they don't in other places. I'm just making a point. And the point is this. If you have 5 properties that were worth $150,000 a piece a year ago, and those properties appreciated 5%. That's each property going up in value 5%. Each property goes up a value of $7,500. Same thing with the person that just paid cash. They get that same appreciation of $7,500. The difference is you get $7,500 across 5 properties. What that does for you is that gives you an equity increase of not $7,500, but $37,500. In other words, you have increased your wealth by that amount of money because each property is appreciating. And it has no bearing. Appreciation has no bearing on debt. Appreciation doesn't care about debt. All appreciation cares about is the value of the property and what it's doing over time. So instead of getting a 5% increase in your equity, you're ultimately getting a 25% increase in your equity because you have to add up all that equity captured together. Because remember, you have to divide it by that $150,000 that you've invested. The cash-only person, they've invested it all in one asset. They only get the benefit of one asset appreciating. Versus the person that properly leveraged the properties, they get the benefit of all 5 properties appreciating. So therefore, they earn more wealth by owning more real estate assets. The other thing that's I think real important is this, your cash on cash return. Now you calculate your cash on cash return by basically saying, okay, how much cash flow do I get based on the amount of money I put into the deal? So the cash only person, they received $12,000 annually on that one property. And when you divide that $12,000 by the $150,000 that they put into that particular property, they're getting an 8% return on their money. Now, conversely, the individual that decides they're going to leverage. They're going to get those five assets. They will also get a return on their money. But the difference is this, because they have five properties cash flowing for them, and the cash flow that comes off of those five properties is greater than the cash flow of the person who is not even leveraged at all. They're earning $21,300 per year by leveraging property, and their return is 14.2%. So that is a better return on their investment. Pretty cool stuff. Now, let me throw this out for you. I received an email just a few minutes ago from one of the realtors that I work with. These are people that understand my investing requirements. I have told them if you find a particular property that meets certain criteria, I would be interested in looking at the property. So here's the property that came in. And, you know, this is what's real interesting about this property. Remember, in my example, I said, we're not going to do anything the lifestyle's way. We're just going to go out and find properties that have already been fixed up. We're not going to go out and try and find distressed properties ourselves and get those properties fixed up so that we can capture equity and we can capture some other things. But here's the deal that came through. The after repair value on this property is $145,000. Okay, my example said $150,000. You can buy the property for $90,000, and you're going to use hard money to buy that property because the hard money loan will give you 70% of the after repair value. So essentially what that hard money loan is going to do for you is it's going to provide you a little over $100,000. And when you look at the amount of money required to do the repairs, and you take a calculus. Well, I don't know. I hate that word. I hated calculus, by the way. When you take a look at what the numbers are indicating to me, my out-of-pocket expense to buy this particular house would be less than $15,000. So I could buy a house for $15,000, which is essentially half of what I showed you. Well, I told you in my model. So I could buy one property for $15,000, not $30,000, but $15,000. Now, this particular property, it's only going to cash flow $300 a month. Not the higher $355 that I had in my example. It's only going to do $300 per month. But if you look at it this way, if you got two of those, they're producing $600 per month as opposed to the one property in my example that's only producing $355. Is it kind of soaking in? Do you realize that the power of leverage is so important to helping you get to where you're trying to get to financially faster? That's why we do it. We do it correctly. We don't over leverage, because when you over leverage, it creates different problems that I'm not going to get into. But when you correctly leverage the property, and you have the property fixed up. And what we do is we don't go out and we buy fixed up properties already. I will tell you, I've met some Lifestyles Unlimited members. That's their model. That's what they choose to do. They don't want to do the work. They're afraid of it. Okay. I don't know why they're afraid of it, but it's them. It's what's going on inside their mind. I'm not afraid of it. I am absolutely not afraid of it. And the people I hang out with the Lifestyles Unlimited, but I'll tell you what, they take these properties down all the time. So what I want to impart upon you is this. If you have money out there and it's not earning you money the way it should, in other words, you're not allowed to leverage that property. If you're in the stock market, I mean, at the end of the day, there is no leverage unless you go out and do those margin things and stuff like that. What you pay for at face value. So you put 100% of your money into that deal. And if it goes up, you get appreciation, but you don't get cash flow unless that particular stock pays a dividend. Now, very few stocks pay dividends. So what you're doing is you're putting money into an asset that's not paying you five different ways. You don't get the benefits of depreciation. You don't get the benefit of using leverage to acquire more of those assets. And you're missing something. You're really missing something. When you take that same amount of money and you deploy it correctly. And just in the example I gave you, not even looking at the example that came in through my email, which really just makes you go, wow, how come I haven't responded? Probably because I'm on the radio. But if you can take $150,000 and you can invest it correctly, and that $150,000 can produce cash flow for you of $27,300, What does that do for your life? Where would you spend that money? Would you use that money to offset your ordinary expenses at home? And maybe you only need five more houses. Maybe with $300,000, you could produce twice as much cash flow of about $54,600. And you have to also understand that, you know, some of you think, wow, you know, I can't live off $54,000. But I don't know. Maybe you can. Maybe you absolutely can, because there are certain expenses that you're not going to pay out of pocket for every month. There are certain things that you're not being taxed for. Social Security, Medicare, you know, that's coming out of your check. You got to take that into consideration. We get taxed differently in real estate. We're able to utilize depreciation. I mean, there's so many different ways. I will tell you this. If you want more information, you want to come check us out, go to lifestylesunlimited.com. That's lifestylesunlimited.com. We've got a ton of information there for you. You can check out a free workshop, or if you just want to become a member, you can do that there too. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.